What is going on? What's up, Crew 3 Podcast? Rose Rugby is always our, which my co-host this week. No Chris, unfortunately. Chris is, essentially, it sounds like all of his store has COVID except for him. So he is a one-man show selling suits. So
the one man, the one-stop shop for all your suit needs, you know?
The Seven Nations Suit Army.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. He's going to suit them all. He's going to fit them all.
All right, so this week we got some stuff to go over. We're not going to kind of go into all the events. I will briefly run over the Showcase Challenge Top 8, but there are two sick deck lists I've seen from Preliminaries I do want to get Riggs' opinion on. Then we're going to dive into all of these sick Eldraine spoilers. And honestly, I'm kind of tired of going, what was officially spoiled and what hasn't been spoiled. So we're just going to do everything because there's a big spoiler leak over the weekend as well. So
it's everything that's been shown, what's official and what's not official.
Yeah. So all the fakes, all the leaks look pretty real. So we're just going to cover them. And then, of course, I said last week, hey, even though bans didn't happen, what decks were you going to play if Karn was banned? So we're going to look at your community submissions for those. So let's dive on it. Actually, hold on though. Before, in the ever ongoing tradition of Ruckman keeps finding other card game products that are way cooler than whatever Magic does. Ricky, have you seen the Pokemon TCG Classic Edition?
You mean the like 151?
No, I'm not talking about the 151.
I bought a pack of Pokemon cards to try to open a Charizard.
Ooh, now you gotta go find Evolving Skies to open a Moonbryon. I want you to look at this product. So I think this is gonna it's called Pokemon Trading Card Classic. And so what this is it is a big case that then folds out to be a like really nice looking play area. And it comes with three complete decks featuring the original starters, a bunch of classic cards, and then some newer cards thrown in to kind of like modernize them a bit. And then it comes with really nice plastic like damage counters and everything like that. And also, special sleeves and stuff like that. Like, this product is sick! $400, that's kind of expensive, but like, Wizards, you're owned by Hasbro. Make something cool!
$1,000, right? And these are non-tournament legal cards, right?
Not clarified, but this is only $400.
Wow, the little stackable little pyramids, cones of Dunshire.
damage counters?
Counters are kind of sick.
Yeah.
The box unfolding into a board is really sick. Yeah, these look really cool. But I mean, of course, you can't just make a $400 premium product to celebrate your like players, right? Like it's gotta be randomized, right? You don't actually get three decks. Booster packs that might contain contents of three decks, right?
There's turns
like,
out.
Oh, right? Like, and it's $400. That's the price to like to Amazon, right? If you want to actually buy this, this is going to be like $1,000 out the door, right?
Sure enough, nope, it's $400.
Wow!
And once again, also funny because of course Wizards used to make this game,
right? This is sick. I was also recently looking at like the rest of the line like lineup of products for like the One Piece card game.
Uh huh.
Even though I don't play that game. Like they're doing like one like super competitive starter deck at some point this year,
like an event deck type thing.
Yeah, but like it's like yeah, it's a complete like
yeah
full deck with reprints of like set one's most expensive cards in it.
I mean, people also message us about like, hey, do you know that for $30 you can buy the deck that won Worlds of Pokemon? But like that deck also I think has a different card back, so it's not like.
Right.
Legal or anything like that.
Yeah, Pokemon always does that though. They do this like nice little like you know how Magic used to do with the World Championship decks.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon still does that, which is kind of sick, honestly.
And they come with like sleeves and like a special pin and stuff like that, themed after where Worlds was. So
which is like Hawaii always, right?
I remember the one that was in the UK because I remember there's the Pikachu with the Beefeater hat.
You could be right. You could be right.
Yeah,
but. I guess, you know, we could sit here and lament how terrible Wizards of the Coast is, but they do unfortunately have a hold of the best game.
Yes.
And, you know, and they got it by the Huevos Rancheros, you know?
Sure. And, I mean, like, look, they gave us what? the Garruk nerf axe once, and then did the Chandra gauntlet actually come out?
I don't know. I've never seen that thing.
You remember what I'm talking about, though, right? Like, it was to come with the... It's like a wearable Chandra gauntlet. I was also going to come with a special promo of Chandra's gauntlet.
I don't think so. I don't think that happened.
Well, that was going to come out at some point. So, Wizards, you're owned by Hasbro. Hasbro, you own Magic the Gathering. Make cool-ish. Anyway, enough ranting. Let's take a quick look at the showcase challenge. Take a quick look at a couple decklists I want to talk about, and then we'll dive on in.
Send me these decklists.
Eldraine spoilers. All right, so real quick, here is one. Here is two.
I got one.
Got one margarita. All right. So real quick, we're not going to go through the decklists for these. But the top eight for the Showcase Challenge. Eighth place, we have Ross 56 on Teamer Creativity. Seventh place, Anonymous on Rakdos Sacrifice. Sixth place, Scipios on Mono Green Devotion. In fifth place, we have Bull Zero Eye on Boros Pia. Fourth place, we have Rooney 56 on Rakdos Sacrifice. Third place, we have Marilonzi on Abzan Greasefang. Second place, we have Coley 2 on Rakdos Sacrifice. And in first place, Luis Salvato on Rakdos Sacrifice. But I'm going to have all the challenges in the link in the description below, so be sure to go check those out if you want to go look at all those deck lists. However, there are two deck lists I did want to talk about, Ricky. These are from some the preliminaries this week. One of them is Soul Tyrona finally managed to take it down by Kelly Rowland. This is a deck we definitely hyped up. Coming out of March of the Machine, and just really hasn't done a whole lot. What do you think about just how the deck is kind of where it's at, where it's kind of gone? What do you think about Soul Tyrona?
So, like, it is a deck that can win on turn three, right? Which is cool that can happen, but it needs a lot for that can to happen, right? Mm-hmm. It gets to play Thought Seize in a combo deck, which is exciting and very important because Rona will die to everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And so, I mean, you're playing a creature like that you either need a Tyvar in play to go off or you need to wait a whole turn cycle with a 0/2 to go off, you know? Or 1/3. Is Rona a 1/3? She is.
It's a 1/3, yeah.
So it seems really fragile of a combo, but always kind of more interested when like decks sort of become like this weird mid-rangey control deck that could just win with a combo. But this one seems to be all in on the combo, which I do. I also like that, you know. We do play Fatal Push, you know. We do play Dig Through Time to help find the combo. Whole bunch of cards to wish for.
What do we want to run in with this deck list? Are we wanting to hit like mono green? Like, what are we wanting to hit with this matchup?
I feel like Mono Green would be really good if it weren't for the fact that we need Mox Amber to go off.
Oh, yeah. No, Karn doesn't stop Mox Amber because it's a mana ability, right?
Karn stops mana abilities? What are you talking about?
Does it?
Yeah, your Darksteel Citadel can't tap for mana with Karn in play.
Oh, my God. Karn, why is this still legal?
Why do you think... it's a War of the Spark designed card. You're right.
It is.
That's why it got Mysekinth Lattice banned in Modern.
Karn.
Tutor Mysekinth Lattice and play it, and then the game just ended for your opponent. They aren't allowed to play anymore.
Hey, you know what else came out this week about involving Mysekinth Lattice?
What?
That was a judge promo this year.
It was a judge promo this year. It was a pretty cool judge promo this year.
Are we about to just... I mean, look, everything's on fire. I don't think we really did go into just how bad... Everyone knows how bad the basic land debacle is.
I've heard that there's going to be a judge revolt.
I believe it.
I mean,
the pyramid scheme is finally collapsing.
It's a man. How do you mess it up? It's easy. You give the judges like 4 to 5 sweet promos every year, and that's all you got to do, right?
Yeah.
All we have to do.
Don't make them pay to be a judge either,
right? You know.
Yeah.
Now we've already made them pay to be a judge. We've already done that. That's already happened. And everybody was okay with that. But there is a point where the judges can only be pushed so far.
Yeah.
And that is now giving them an island for being the keynote speaker at a judge conference.
The island doesn't even have an owl in it.
It's the keynote speaker promo. Now, if you give a keynote speech this year,
uh-huh,
you get a foil old bordered sword of war and peace, right? Very cool. Very exciting, right? And if you attended those judge conferences, you would get cards like Grindstone and Myskin Lattice and Retrofitter Foundry.
Well, those are the Q1 and Q2. I've heard people who are like, oh, yeah, I finally get to find out what my to-be-determined promos are because they're waiting for the Q3 promos. Now they've been waiting for basic lands the past, like, month.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Awesome.
It's great.
So, you know, another great Wizards decision.
Yeah. All right, anyway, back to Rona, though.
Back to Rona. I mean, it's sweet that it did well. I can see it being able to climb through decks that are kind of more narrow-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Play less removal, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, especially in a world where we're seeing very few Rakdos mid-range decks.
Sure, yeah.
It's going to be really well, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you're proactively trying to win the game in some fashion, you're going to do, like, decently fine.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the other deck. This is the one I really want your opinion on.
This is a wild deck.
Also a Rona deck. This is Esper Legends by Kyle Gonzalez, who won, I guess, or at least went 6-0-1 before, like, top 8 or whatever, in an NRG 5K. So this is 4 Skrull of Defector Might, 4 Rona Herald of Invasion, 3 Thalia Guardian of Thraben, 4 Emry Lurker of the Lock, 4 Grease Fang Okiba Boss, 3 Rafine Scheming Seer, 3 Shield of the Apocalypse, 4 Mox Amber, 3 Asika's Chariot, 1 Sky Sovereign, 4 Parhelion 2, and then Lance, because turns out we're Legends midrange, but also we're Grease Fang.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Retraction Helix. We can't go infinite with the Rona.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's just fine looting us cards, right? Every time we play another legendary card.
Yeah.
I think this deck is very, very cool. Emry is sick, also mills us cards, lets us cast chariots out of our graveyard.
Yeah.
This card is sick.
I should build this. I just need the Plaza of Heroes.
This thing is absolutely hilarious. You just need Plaza of Heroes?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Plaza of Heroes, a card I think you should still pick up. This card is very busted.
Yeah.
Very, very pushed card. Overly good design on this card.
Yeah.
It's got 4 abilities on a land that comes into play untapped, so you know.
Yeah. But I mean, like, look, we've seen the Shielder to win games. I really like Rafine. Skrull of Thalia to help back up our Grease Fang. This deck's fun. This deck is neat. I like it.
I like this deck a lot. And
Eldraine time. All right. Real quick, before I just kind of forget, I do want to briefly get your opinion on all of the roles. Because, hey, we are right.
There's 6 of them.
We're giving roles out. We're giving aura tokens. So there are 6 roles. Your creature can technically have as many roles on it as there are players, because the way it works is each player can only have 1 role per, like, on each creature. But, like, if you have a guy that I give a role to, it can have a role from you before being replaced.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Where does it say that on the card?
It doesn't. It says it in the mechanic guide I sent you.
Whoa, hold on. If you control another role on it, put that one into the problem I have with this whole mechanic. I hate this mechanic. I'm just going to say it right now.
Okay, all right.
I'm just going to come right out and say it. I hate this mechanic because it very
much... No one's going to have the tokens.
Yeah, like, there's too many tokens. There's 6 of them.
Yes.
7 if you play Commander. Wild,
but
right?
But there's 2 per token, Ricky.
So, 1, that's a lot of extra stuff you got to bring with you now.
Uh-huh.
2, the rares don't tell you what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have now hit the point where we're just flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's like that you are royal. It's like, what? Cool. What does this mean? You know, reading the card is supposed to explain the card, and now it just doesn't, right?
You know what does? What game does do that?
What?
Grand Archive.
And a lot of the cards don't tell me that I can't put multiple roles on the same guy.
Well, it's because the way the mechanic usually works is they say, like, let me go find a card.
As Cursed Courtier says, 3-mana, 3/3 lifelink, enters the battlefield, create a cursed role token attached to it, right?
Yeah.
Enchanted creature is a 1/1 in parentheses, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, doesn't tell me that, like, if I put another role on it,
But it says, if you control another role on it, put that one in the graveyard. And Chain of Creatures is a 1-1. So it says that's...
It doesn't say that on the token.
No, it doesn't. But the card that gives the role does.
But it...
Yep, so...
Where?
Yeah, so the way that works is, again...
It doesn't say that on Cursed Quarter.
It says it on Asinine Antics.
Asinine?
Asinine Antics.
Yeah, it says... If you control another role on it, put that one into the graveyard. And yes. Chain of Creatures is a 1-1, right?
Yes.
But as far as I'm concerned, that only works for Asinine Antics, and it doesn't tell me anywhere else.
No, that's just how the mechanic. I know what you're trying to say, Ricky, but that's just not how the game works. Yeah. The game works like, you know. So anyway, what are the roles, though, real quick before we each role? So Cursed, Enchanted Creature has base power and toughness, 1-1. Monster, Enchanted Creature gets +1/+1 and has Trample. Royal, Enchanted Creature gets +1/+1 and has Ward. Sorcerer, Enchanted Creature gets +1/+1 and has whenever the creature attacks, scry 1. Wicked, Enchanted Creature gets +1/+1, and when this aura is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, each opponent loses 1 life. And then Young Hero, Enchanted Creature has whenever this creature attacks, if it has toughness 3 or less, put a 1/1 counter on it.
I hate this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I don't like it. I think it's overly complicated. It's going to bog down Limited for people who are trying to learn this set.
Ah, but it'll be easy on Arena.
It will be easy on Arena. You're true. Very true. I hate that. I hate that everything about this mechanic. I think it's really annoying.
Yeah. So now that I've gone over what every role does, remember them when we talk about them and when we talk about a spoiled card that includes that role, because I will not be repeating for the rest of the class. Because Wizards doesn't want to repeat it either, so, you know. All right, let's go through spoilers. Let's start at the top of the page and just kind of work our way down. We already talked.
So you don't pick. Hold on. So like, I'm now reading this article, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's not explained on any of the cards, right?
Sure.
But it's just like, okay, you control a creature and attach a wicked roll to it. Evil Laugh, which is not needed here, right? I'm needing rules, right? Later in the game, you attach a monster roll to it. Evil Roar, which is I'm annoyed. Monster is the newest role, so that token stays and the wicked token heads to the graveyard.
Uh-huh.
Which means you can't pick, right?
Yes, it is. The existing one is always replaced by the new one.
Example 2, you control a creature with a monster role token. Man, and they write these like Discord writes their stuff.
Sure, so they're themed.
No. It means like they're cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like verbatim, you control a creature with a monster roll token attached to it, Rar. Your opponent attaches a cursed roll to it, Tiny Rar. Each token has a different controller, so they both stay on the battlefield. Attach to the cutest little monster. Who's a good monster? You're a good monster. That is the exact, that's what I read.
Uh-huh.
My brain suffered for that because I needed to learn rules that aren't on cards. And then it gets worse, right? Then it gets a royal roll. It takes place of the monster roll, but the cursed roll is still there.
You forgot how it's named Pickles now.
Yeah, I know. I skipped that part. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. All right, continue.
All right. So let's talk about Virtue of Knowledge. 4 and a blue for an enchantment. If a permanent enters the battlefield, causes the triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger. That ability triggers an additional time. But don't worry. This is Eldraine, so it also has an adventure. Vantress Visions, 1 and a blue, instant. Copy target, activate a triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for that copy. Did Omnath need new toys?
I mean, it's like strictly worse than... honestly, I think it's worse than all the other.
You can't tutor off Enigmatic, right? So,
right. It's not Elishnorn.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it could be okay, but like, it's not really... that great, in my opinion. It's not a, it might maybe see play in some Karuga builds, but like, I doubt it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think this is like an instant, like, it's all in, right? But like, we play like one or two of these guys, and I think it'll probably be fine. Like, you get to adventure spell it if you have extra mana up.
Right, but like, yeah, it could be interesting, like, on turn 3 to like Leyline Binding and then Vantress Visions it.
Mm-hmm.
But. I'm not sure about that card. I don't think it's going to be very good.
All right. Callum the Fabled, a tuner red for a 2/2 legendary human fairy with double strike. Other creatures you control get +1/+0 for each aura and equipment attached to Kel in the Fable Edit. But don't worry, he also has an adventure. Birthright Boon, sorcery speed, search your library for an aura equipment card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
So this is a human fairy?
This is a human fairy. And I haven't read any of the story because I've heard a lot of complaints about it, so...
Sick.
Yeah.
It tutors for any aura or equipment, and then it's a big, big double-striking body that bumps your other creatures up.
I mean, it's not a big double-striking body, right?
But you have
to
attach the auras and equipments to it.
Sure.
But he incentivizes you to do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, but, I mean, for 0 mana, I already get to search for auras and play them for free with light balls, so...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if we're having light paws in play, then Kellen's not getting any bigger. Right. All right. Now, here it is. Oh, buddy. Eldraine's here.
The both of you. Are you talking about... Go ahead.
I'm talking about Blossoming Tortoise.
You two are both obsessed over this card. I don't understand.
Woo! 2 green for a 3/3 turtle. Or as Chris would say, the turts. Whenever Blossoming Tortoise enters the battlefield or attacks... Mill 3 cards, then return a land from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. Activate abilities of lands you control cost 1 less to activate. Land creatures you control get +2/+2. So, what I like about this, right? You don't have to hit a land in the cards you mill. As long as there's just a land in your graveyard, you can take it. It doesn't have to be one of the milled cards, right?
Right.
Now we're activating Nykthosis for 1. This is a double pip card. That's pretty good. Activate Nykthosis for 1. We're also activating our Lair of the Hydras for 1 cheaper. And our Lair of the Hydras also are getting +1/+1.
This card also costs 4 mana. Right?
That's fine.
Which means that this card would slot perfectly into mono green instead of a Karn in the sudden banning of Karn.
Uh-huh.
If it ever happens. Even though it should happen. And we all know it should happen. Everyone out there knows that Karn should be banned.
I mean, I see this card. I'm just like, now we definitely could ban Cavalier and just give us this card, right?
Why because, do you want to ban Cavalier? Ban Karn.
I'm also on the ban Karn train.
Unified front.
But I agree with you on the ban Karn. But Cav putting the land into play untapped is too good.
This card is also fine. I think this card is fine. It won't beat Karn for a 4-drop slot though, so I don't think it's going to see play in mono green.
Yeah. All right, what do you want? What do we got next? Virtue of Loyalty, 3WW for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, put a 1/1 counter each creature you control. Untap those creatures. Ardenvale, Fealty, 1W for an instant. Creatures you create a 2/2 knight token with vigilance.
Interesting.
Yeah, here's a fun commander card.
5 mana is a little too much, though.
Yeah. That's what we got Gobakan already.
Yeah, Gobakan.
Yeah. Because, really, we're not getting a whole lot of value off untapping our guys.
Right.
So, Asinine Antics, 2BB for a sorcery. You may cast Asinine Antics as though it had flash if you pay 2 more to cast it. For each creature your opponent's control, create a cursed world token attached to that creature.
So, I don't think this card is very good at all.
Okay.
Because it does not get rid of abilities.
It just makes them 1/1s, right?
Right. Which doesn't matter. If like you're like, cause it's like, oh, this is good against aggro decks, but it's like not because, Soulscar Mage and Monsters with Spear still have prowess.
Prowess. Yeah. you lower their toughness by 1. Good job, idiot.
Yeah. Thalia's Lieutenant still has her counters and will continue to get more counters. Right.
Yeah. The creatures that were given counters will still have those counters.
Will still have the counters. Right. Training is still going to trigger. Adelaine does get significantly smaller.
Yes.
However, she will still make tokens when she attacks. And so I think that, honestly, this card's not very good at all in Pioneer. It is not removal at all.
Mm-hmm.
Beseech the Mirror. I'll talk about this one.
Yeah, this card's insane.
I don't know. Black 1 for a sorcery with Bargain. You can bargle by sacrificing an artifact or enchantment or a token as you cast the spell.
I'm going to do so much bargling.
Yeah, search your library for a card, exile it face down, then shuffle. If this spell was bargained, you may cast the exiled card without paying its mana cost if that spell's mana value is 4 or less, and then you put the exiled card into your hand if it wasn't cast this way. So 4-mana tutor for anything, and if you bargain it, you can cast a 4-drop if you find it.
Now, of course, this is broken in older form. I've seen all the Legacy and Vintage combos, but what does it do first in Pioneer, really?
It gets Greasefang.
Yeah.
But Greasefang is not a deck that can support a black, black, black cost.
Mm-hmm.
It struggles to play, like, its own costs as is, right?
Yeah.
So I just think that this card is, like, not fantastic. I just don't think this card is... This ain't it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that there might be some cool thing to go get at a later date, but right now I don't see it.
Yeah. All right, Realm Scorcher Hellkite, 4RR for a 4/6 with bargain, flying, and haste. When Realm Scorcher Hellkite enters the battlefield, if it was bargained, add 4 mana in any combination of any colors. And then it has it has 1RR, it deals 1 damage to any target.
Yeah, for like 1 more mana, we get a 4/6 flying haste instead of a 5/5 flying haste.
Let's talk about Glorybringer, of course.
Well, yeah, Glorybringer is a 4/4 and lets us exert to kill something.
What's the 5/5 then?
Thundermaw Hellkite, but I guess that's not in the format.
Yeah.
What's the Inferno, the Star Mouth or whatever?
Oh, Mount of Infernus? Star Mount?
Yeah, jeez, that guy's. He's a 6-mana 6/6 flying haste and uncounterable, I think. Inferno, the Star Mount?
4RR, 6/6 haste, can't be countered. Yeah. And red, it fire breathes.
The argument that this could only be costing you 2 and a token, but you do still have to pay 6, it doesn't actually reduce the cost. I think this dragon is, there's been better dragons. I can't believe this dragon's actually mythic.
What if we chain it with like gold spans in play though? Like we get to use our treasures.
We already have dragons then.
Yeah.
So, there's better dragons already.
All right. The Huntsman's Redemption, a.k.a. how Garrett got his groove back. Tuna Green for create a 3/3 beast token. Chapter 2 is a saga, sorry. You may sacrifice a creature. If you do, search your library for a creature or basic land card. Reveal it and put it in your hand, then shuffle. Chapter 3, up to 2 target creatures get +2/+2 and gain trample to end of turn.
And I am in on like the first 2 chapters of this card.
Yeah.
And then it loses me on chapter 3. I'm like... Wait, what are we doing now? We're just +2/+2 and trample?
That's pretty lame, Garrick.
That was like a disappointing ending, you know?
That's just to be him keep taking care of the kids, though.
I understand he sends the 2 kids off to school with a great bagged lunch, you know? But
Yeah.
Close. I like the tutor. I like the tutor ability.
Yeah. It's a sack, so like, you know, we can do some shenanigans with that. All right, what do we get?
I want to stick down to Decadent Dragon.
Decadent Dragon. We want to talk about it.
Now, this is a good dragon.
Okay. This is a good dragon?
It's a red 2 for a 4/4 flying trample, and whenever it attacks, we create a treasure token.
Okay.
Seems fine, right? That is an okay on-rate dragon, but wait. I stapled another card to this dragon.
Oh, that's right. This is Eldraine.
Yeah. For 3 mana at instant speed, we can have expensive tastes, which lets us for black and 2. Exile the top 2 cards of our opponent's library face down, and we may look at and play those cards as long as they remain exiled. So it's a 3-mana instant draw 2. We just draw off of our opponent's library, and then it curves itself. Like all good adventure cards, they curve into themselves and starts letting us make treasures so we can start casting the off-colored spells that we found with Decadent Dragon. I think this card is a sick mid-range option. Won't see play while Fable is around, but this card is very good.
I mean, we don't even worry about seeing play. I mean, we don't even worry about any of those treasures because we know we're just going to play Rakdos Mirrors all day. So it's like we already have lands to cast the spells we get from our opponent.
Right.
What do we got? Bramble Familiar. That's an expensive adventure cost. We have a Wrath for the set. 3WW. Choose a number between 0 and 10 to draw a creature with power greater than or equal to the chosen number.
We have Elvish Archivist.
Ricky, you skipped the best art in the set.
Oh, I didn't skip anything. I try to forget the Devourer Trigger Maw.
Yeah. What was the art direction on Devouring?
Thank God this card isn't good.
Yeah, right.
But yes, there's a tooth donut with gummy worms coming out of it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to look at it anymore.
And it sure does look like a...
I just put a post-it note on my screen.
Yeah. It sure does look like a beehole.
It doesn't look great.
Anyway, Elvish Archivist, the one in a green for a 0/1 elf artificer. Whenever one or more artifacts enter the battlefield under your control, put 2/1/1 counters at Elvish Archivist. This ability only triggers once each turn. Hold on, this is an Yu-Gi-Oh! Hard once per turns? Are you kidding me right now? Whenever one or more enchantments enter the battlefield under your control, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Why are we giving elves hard once per turns?
I mean, this is good. This card is insane.
This card's good.
The problem is it's conflicted. It doesn't know where it wants to go, right?
Does it want to be an enchantment card or an artifact card?
Yeah, it's having a tough time. And that's why it might not see, like, hardened scales means this guy, like, is going to get 3 counters when you play an artifact.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the artifact, like, Chris talks about artifact skills a bunch, so, like.
I like Rotisserie Elemental, but I wish it had haste.
Yeah. What do we got?
Which is it's a 1-mana, 1/1 menace. When it deals combat damage to a player, you may put a skewer counter on it.
Okay.
Then you may sacrifice it. And if you do, you exile the top X cards of your library. Where X is the number of skewer counters on Rotisserie Elemental, you may play those cards this turn. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. Do you got anything on Spellbook Vendor, Ingenious Prodigy, or Lich Knight's Conquest?
I like Lich Knight's Conquest.
Yeah, what you got there?
Black and 4 for a sorcery. Sacrifice any number of artifacts, enchantments, and or tokens. And return that many creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. I mean, that's just sick.
Yeah.
It's a you can't sacrifice straight creatures that aren't artifacts or enchantments. So, like, you have to bargain. But I do like this card quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then I've got to say, can we look at my...
You're wrong.
My Charming Scoundrel.
You're wrong by color.
Okay. I said black and it's red.
Yeah.
You know, but I think this card is... I called it right that it would be a charm creature.
You did, yes.
And it has some pretty interesting abilities, in my opinion. I actually like this card quite a lot.
Okay.
1/1 haste for 2, and you get to choose from discard a card, draw a card, create a treasure token, or create the Wicked Roll token, which would make this guy a 2/2 that when it dies would deal 1 damage to your opponent. So it can be a 2-mana 2/2 haste with upside, or if the hasting time is over, right?
Sure.
We can try to draw another card.
Uh-huh.
Or it can try to ramp us in red, which is kind of sick.
Yeah.
Spellbook Vendor does not interest me.
What about Farsight Ritual?
This card doesn't interest me at all.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Memory Deluge and Dig Through Time already, right? Like,
right.
There's no real room. I want to talk about, however... Lord Skinner, the Sewer King.
Rat, I figured you
tribal,
were.
Rat, tribal, rat, tribal,
why can't
rat,
rats
tribal.
Block?
Because they small, Ricky.
Why are mice allowed to block, but rats aren't? Which there is a difference of in this set.
There is, yeah. So Lord Skinner, Sewer King, 2 and a black for a 3/3 rat noble. Already good there. Whenever Shanks enters the battlefield or another rat, exile up whenever another rat enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target card from an opponent's graveyard. At the beginning of your combat on your turn, create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block.
It's weird, and I don't know what he does with all the cards he exiled.
He either go somewhere, right?
What's he doing with them? Like, I was like, and then we get to, like, we get payoff for that, right?
Nah.
And no, he just eats them.
He just wants them.
Like, there's no payoff. Okay, cool. I guess that's fine. Sure.
Imidane the Pyrohammer. 2 red red for a 4/4 legendary creature human knight. Whenever an instant or sorcery spell you control deals damage, targets only a single creature deal damage to that creature. Imidane deals that much damage to each opponent.
Lame.
Yeah.
Seder Fire Dancer is the same thing.
Okay. What about New Quarian?
Questing Druid is insane.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, we got Quarian Dryad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool card. Seen a lot of play back in its day, right?
Yeah.
What if we stapled Instant Speed Ren's Resolve onto it?
Ooh. I'm in.
I'm excited. This card's sick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2 mana instant, draw 2 cards, and then Questing Druid is Quarian Dryad. So, like, while this won't see play in Pia exactly, because you want to cast the Questing Druid also, right?
Uh-huh.
I think this card's sick.
Yeah. Then what do we got? We have, what's the one from Tark here that already doesn't see play that gives your spells lifelink?
Soulfire Grandmaster?
Soulfire Grandmaster, like.
But this guy comes with his own really bad lightning bolt.
That's true. It does come with a 3-mana lightning bolt.
If it was a 2-mana lightning bolt and a 3-mana creature, this card would be insane.
Yeah, that's fair.
It curves the wrong way.
What do we get here? Sleep Cursed Fairy.
I think that Song of Totentans.
Hold on, you skipped the Rat Tribal card though first.
What? I have not. I think we're seeing different orders. I'm on Mythic Spoiler.
I am on Mythic Spoiler.
Okay.
Tangled Colony, 1 and a black for a 3/2 Tangled Colony can't block. When Tangled Colony dies, create X 1/1 black rat creature tokens with this creature can't block. X the amount of damage dealt to it this turn.
I just don't understand what this card is going for.
Rat Colony, Rat Tribal, Rat Tribal. It's going to happen.
Now, I'm doing less interested in the Rat Tribal, but more interested in just lots of go wide boards.
Yeah.
The Song of Totentans or whatever it's called.
Sure.
The Song of Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Red X sorcery, create X black rat creature tokens with this creature can't block. And then creatures you control gain haste until end of turn. I don't know. Like, this could be sick. It makes a lot of hasty bodies.
Just play for red. Everything gains haste.
I mean, we have Cavalcade in Pioneer.
True, yeah.
Like, this could be very, very real, you know?
Yeah.
We have Cavalcade, we have Impact Tremors. I just think that this could be a deck.
What do you think of the Billy Goats Gruff?
It's a Hearthstone card.
It really is. What's this card? I think I've seen this card. Feral Encounter.
Oh man, I was about to talk about this. I want to go off.
Yeah. Break it down.
This is the most complicated fight spell you've ever seen in your life.
Has Chris seen this? We need to get Chris's live reaction to this.
So this is green sorcery. Let's look at the top 5 cards of your library. You're with me?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's look at the top 5. Exile a creature card from among them, and put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm still with you. Yep.
You can cast that exiled card this turn.
Okay.
All right. Completely new idea. Let's put that on the card at the beginning of combat.
But it's the same. There's no break in the card, though. This is just the same ability.
At the beginning of the next combat phase. Now, keep up, right? Did you cast card you exiled?
No.
That's okay. It's all right. At the beginning of the next combat phase, though, target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to up to one target creature you don't control. This is a delayed trigger to fight.
Oh my god.
It's clearly because they want to give you time to cast your creature.
Sure.
Or it has to fight, right?
Yeah.
But effectively, this is 2-mana fight that might find you a creature that you can cast this turn.
Uh-huh.
It's really weird. It's such a weird...
And there's also a chance it's a delayed trigger that doesn't have targets.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it's at the beginning of the next combat phase this turn, so if you cast this in main phase 2 for any reason... It's like no value.
We found a dude, hopefully.
Yeah. That's
like it.
Yeah. Like, this card's really weird and not in a fun way.
Yeah. That is weird. Okay. Frolicking Familiar, 2 and a blue for a 2/2 otter wizard with flying. If you cast your sorcery spell, put a 1/1. It gets 1/+1/+1 until end of turn. But it also has adventure for a single red. You get an instant with deals 1 damage to any target.
Card's bad.
Oh, no. But look
sorry.
At
him. Yeah, look at him.
Look at him.
I would like to continue the theme of random black rares that are named after aughts era emo songs.
Okay.
Because we've talked about Can't Wake Up Inside, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And Bringing Me to Life, right?
Yeah.
But now, sometimes you get so far and you try so hard, right?
But in the end?
But then the end, and it doesn't even matter, right?
Sure.
So black 2 for an instant. This spell does cost 2 less to cast if your life total is 5 or less. Probably won't come up.
Okay.
But, you know, the two Nicholas that you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be pretty interesting, right? For four mana, we are instant speed exiling a creature or a planeswalker, and then we are ending its entire line, you know?
Okay.
We're going to search their graveyard. We're going to search their hand. We're going to search their library. We're going to search their bank accounts for any number of cards with the same name as the permanent card and exile them. And then, of course, because we're not heartless,
yeah,
they get to draw a card if we took any out of their hand.
That's nice.
I think this card's really good. I mean, four mana removal spells have seen play in the past.
Yeah.
Black four mana instant speed exile spell at rare is pretty, like, standard at this point in sets, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Baleful Mastery to Vraska's Contempt, right? Yeah. And I think this is the best one.
This is really good, yeah.
And, like, when it does cost two, oh boy.
You get them.
And if you're at home and you're wanting to know, right?
Yeah.
All four Phoenixes go on the stack and resolve. So you let the first Phoenix ability resolve to put that Phoenix into play. And then you cast to the end with the other abilities on the stack. So you get all the Phoenixes.
Okay.
All right.
What do we... Here's where No Shiriki was wrong.
Oh, yeah?
Thunderous Debut.
What did I say?
It was like a blue card that you just like that dealt damage. It was like a blue red.
Yeah. I wanted to see a card that dealt a bunch of damage based on the number of cards you revealed.
Yeah. So this is Thunder Steel for 6 green sorcerer with bargain. Look at the top 20 cards of your library. You may reveal 2 creature cards up from among them. If this spell was bargained, put the revealed cards onto the battlefield. Otherwise, put the revealed cards into your hand.
Looking at the top 20 cards is very, very, very stupid.
It's a lot of cards.
It should have just been like tooth and nail.
Yeah.
It should have just let me search.
Uh-huh.
But I guess like then like, oh, if you get, I don't know. This card is weird. And because it's not exactly consistent, I don't think it'll see any play.
Sure.
If it was a little more consistent, I think it has potential. But because it only looks at the top 20... And you can whiff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, basically by the time you're casting this, you might have 40 cards left in your deck. So you're looking at, or probably you have a little bit more, they have like 42, 43. So, like, you're looking at probably, like, a little less than a 50-50 that both the creatures you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they're one ofs. And then if they're multiples of, you know, it kind of gets different,
sure.
But, you know.
All right, well, I got one card I want to talk about before we jump down to the gold cards here. This is Mosswood Dreadknight. Now, Chris and I are both very high on this card. This is 1 and a green for a 3/2 humanite with trample. And whenever Mosswood Dreadknight dies, you may cast it from your graveyard as an adventure spell until the end of your next turn. And its adventure side is Dread Whispers. For 1 and a black sorcery, draw a card, you lose 1 life. So this is... you get to draw a card, lose a life. You get to play a creature because, again, this does better than Curve Into itself because it's the same cost on each side. And then when it dies, you have until the end of your next turn to then send it on another adventure.
Right. It's
the Green Knight, right?
Card's sick.
Yeah.
It's rangy, but it costs green and black, which
Don't
means
worry.
It's not playable. They've printed a land that taps for green and
black. Ricky, it's going to happen. Golgari's coming back. It's going to make a comeback once Fable gets banned.
Right. Once Fable gets banned, right? When the Angels win the pennant.
Let me hit the cope.
Oh, man. I've got, like, 3 more cards I want to talk about, and they're kind of all very similar.
Okay.
I got to talk about Callous Sellsword.
Okay.
This is probably the worst of the 3 cards I'm going to talk about, but this card is a 2-mana 2/2 human soldier, right? But it's got an adventure for 1 red.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 red sorcery, burn together. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to any other target, and then sacrifice it. Then the backside or the creature side says when it enters the battlefield with a 1/1 counter on it for each creature that died under your control this turn. I think this card is kind of sick for like a Rack-Sack build.
Yeah.
I think both modes are kind of relevant. I think like even if you don't cast the front half, this guy can easily be like a 2-mana 4/4,
yeah.
You know, but probably not the best card. Now, a card that I will declare is going to see play in Pioneer 110% in main boards, right?
Main boards?
Yeah. Twisted Fealty. I think Twisted Fealty is insane. It is red and two. It's Threaten. Threaten plus set mechanic. But what set mechanic? The set mechanic is give a creature a
wicked
roll, right? And it's not the creature you steal, so you can give it to something else.
Yeah. So you can let another creature defy gravity.
So you can, yeah, exactly. That's a good joke. I have not thought about that one. But Wicked is the +1/+1, and when the Wicked roll dies,
yeah,
you deal an extra damage to your opponent. Uh-huh. And I think that this is way better than getting the treasure token from the Molten Rains.
Uh-huh.
If you hit, because this will give it to you no matter what, right?
Sure.
And you can leave that bonus, like, it will leave your board better, right? Because you can put it on, like, your Mayhem Devil. Now your Mayhem Devil is a 4-4, and that's really hard to deal with. It's also, like, a random other thing to sack the aura, if you find things that let you sacrifice auras.
Sure.
And also, it's just an extra point of damage to keep the pain train running.
Mm-hmm.
I think this card is very good, and I think it's going to be replacing Furnace Rains.
Sure.
And then, like, the last card before we hit multicolor that I need to talk about is Fairy Dream Thief. It's okay. A 1-mana 1/1 flyer that ETBs to Surveil 1.
Oh.
For 3 mana, we can exile it from our graveyard to draw a card and lose a life.
That's good.
I think we are hitting a, like, max, like, we're hitting a certain, like, threshold of creatures that mill us or creatures that do something in the graveyard that are all creature cards, and I think we're getting really, really close to some sort of dredge deck being actually good and not just a meme.
Hey, that Grixis Sack deck is real, man. I'm telling you.
I think we're really close. I think this card is very cool.
Yeah. All right, let's look at gold cards, because I want to talk about, oh, man, this set. This is the Bard classes. I hear them. They're in my binder next to me. They're calling to me. So I got two cards to talk about here. I think they're pretty interesting for Bard class possibilities. So we get Agatha of the Vile Cauldron. So for red and a green, so already it's basically free, right?
Like, right. It's free real estate.
I've seen a lot of girl math recently. This is Bard math. It's basically free.
Right.
So this is a 1/1 human warlock, legendary creature. Activated abilities your creature you control cost X less to activate, where X is added to the Vile Cauldron's power. This effect can't reduce mana cost less than 1 mana. That's fine, because she also has another ability with 4 red-green. Other creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample and haste until end of turn. So instead of now having to fireball our opponent or sink all of our mana into, like, a singular creature like Targnar or Ronus, now we can just multi-over on our entire board with all of the extra mana that we've made from, like, Xenagos shenanigans and stuff like that. So this card's great. I love this card. Like, now having that wide board actually matters, besides just having to add a bigger storm count.
Right. Are you going to talk about the other
The other one is Ruby Daring Tracker, red to green, again, basically free, for a 1/2 with haste. That whenever Ruby Daring Tracker attacks while you control a creature with power 4 or greater, Ruby gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Eh, but she's a mana dork. So ideally, right, like, this means that you can set up turn 1, turn 2, play Bard class, turn 3, level up Bard class, play her. Now you have an extra mana, so you eventually play, like, a 3-drop, so you can go and get, like, a Domri into play or something like that, and just kind of, or get, like, Burgi into play, just kind of keep going up the train even higher. Or you couldn't get Burgi, because Burgi would still cost. Anyway, essentially, this is what's helped the deck. Because what really sets the deck back right now is lacking a lot of early acceleration. So having an accelerant here that is on curve is legendary and will help you out, like, helps so much the deck.
Right. Unfortunately, Rowan and Will both, in my opinion, suck.
Rowan especially.
I think Rowan's better than Will.
I actually haven't read Will. What does Will do?
He does exactly what Rowan does, but you need to gain life.
Oh, yeah, that is worse.
Yeah. But I mean, we've got some insane gold cards in here.
Hydroid Goose.
I was going to talk first about Baluna Grand Squall.
Ooh, yeah, this card's cool. With all the all the things she stole into the background.
So this is a green, blue, red for a giant noble legendary mythic. Uh-huh. She is a 4/4 trampler for 3 that says permanent spells you cast that have an adventure cost 1 less to cast. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, we could also go seek some thrills. For 5 mana at instant speed, we can mill 7 cards and put all cards that have an adventure from among the milled cards into our hand. And with the amount of adventure I've seen in this set and the amount of adventure I've already seen in original Eldraine, I think this easily draws us 3 cards.
Yeah.
Like, I think on average you're going to see a 3-card drawn if you build an adventures-themed deck in Pioneer, and like definitely this card's going to break Standard.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that there's a cost for multicolored cards anymore. I think that mana is so good nowadays that this could be like 7 colors and it would not matter. Like, sure. You know, like if Omnath and Atraxa have taught us anything, it's that mana costs aren't restrictive at all by colors. Mm-hmm. So I think this card's insane.
Yeah. And of course we have, I agree with you. This is going to, it's already like a 4/4 for 3 that makes things cheaper. Like, you're right. Like having 3 color mana cost doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
Then of course we have the Goose Mother for X and Civic. You get a 2/2 goose as the battlefield X 1/1 counters on it. Then whenever Goose Mother attacks, when it enters the battlefield, create half X food tokens rounded up. And whenever the Goose Mother attacks, you may sacrifice a food if you do draw a card.
Yeah. Big bird. Honk.
It's gonna honk him. All right, what else? Any other gold cards you want to talk about?
I think that Likeness Looter has just given up in the naming department. Yep, it sure does loot. Yep, it sure does clone. Likeness Looter, it's fine, though. It's a cool card. I think that the rest of these cards are kind of...
We didn't really talk about a card with Celebration, but just what do you think of Inverse Revolt?
You need 2 permanents to enter the battlefield. Everything in Magic already makes 2 permanents, so...
It's free.
I think Celebration is fine because it's really good.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the girl?
Which one? Oh, the cookie?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the cookie. This is Chris's last card that he really was into. Although I think there's another artifact he would also like if you're... Anyway.
Here.
Yeah, Sir Ginger the Meal Ender. 2 mana for a 3/1 legendary artifact creature, Food Knight. Of course, this is a throwback to the original Eldraine trailer.
So the trailer.
Sir Ginger the Meal Ender has trample and hexproof and haste as long as the opponent controls a planeswalker. Whenever another creature you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on Sir Ginger and scry 1. 2 and tap or sack by Sir Ginger, you gain life equal to its power. So food...
This card
food synergies.
Hates Karn.
This card does hate Karn.
This card hates Karn immensely. And Garrick. And every Planeswalker. This card is the most hateful card I've ever seen. It's just like, oh, do you have a Planeswalker? Well, then. I get Hexproof and Haste and Trample and Bushido too.
Yeah. Good. I mean, look, she's a little late into her shtick because, you know, we got a lot less Planeswalkers now.
Right.
So, better luck next time, sweetheart. Card's quick. Agatha's Soul Cauldron, though.
Can I go over this real quick? Because it's kind of funny. It's been creating a lot of
rules
conundrums right now in Modern.
Okay.
So this is a 2-mana artifact. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to activate abilities of creatures you control.
Uh-huh.
Creatures you control with 1 counters on them have all activated abilities of all creature cards exiled with Agatha's Soul
Cauldron. Unbanned Walking Ballista, you cowards.
And then it says, tap, exile a card from a graveyard. When a creature card is exiled this way, put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control.
Oh, is this a problem with Grist?
Yeah, what happens if I exile Grist? And the world may never know right now. Because all the judges have quit because we've offered them basic lands instead of other compensation. So the Twitter experts are trying their best to figure out what happens.
Yeah.
If you know, please call the below number. and if you think you know, please call the above number. and if you want to, you know, just say hello, call the diagonal number.
Good. Wow. Yeah, that is funny. But no, unban Ballista, you cowards.
Right. Okay, this card's very funny with Ballista because it can then, so you can remove the counter and then no longer have the ability.
That's what we have to hold. You won't even be able to hold. Well, you have to, as long as you need. Well,
yeah.
Toast. I mean, like, that's fine because, right, like, your opponent's hopefully dead if you've removed, like, three counters from, like, five different creatures.
Did you see Edgewall In?
Oh, no, I haven't. What's Edgewall In? What does it do?
It's a land that comes into play tapped.
Okay.
When it enters the battlefield, you choose a color, and it taps for one mana of that color.
Okay.
At three mana, we can sacrifice Edgewall In and return an adventure from our graveyard to our
hand. Oh. But you're saying what you really mean is it activates for two because we have the turtle in play.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the restless cards have been revealed.
All right. So, I mean, they all activate. Oh, no, they don't activate for the same cost.
I think the best one is the blue-green one.
The blue-green one. What does that one do?
So it taps for blue or green.
Okay.
And for five mana, it can become a 5/5 green and blue plant creature with trample. So for five mana, it becomes a 5/5 trampler. And whenever it attacks, up to one other target creature has a base power and toughness of 3/3 until end of turn.
Oh, all right, yeah.
So maybe, you know, one of your Llana War Elf has said that enough's enough.
Oh.
And he's going to become a 3/3 and attack for 8, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you're just going to turn some other helpless creature into a 3/3 so they can't block your Restless Vine Stalk, right?
Sure.
You're going to make it so that you can actually kill Shieldred with a regular kill spell, you know? Lots of things could happen with this card, but it seems like the most exciting out of all of these. The red-white one does get to put 1/1 counters, which is great, being in, like, the only two colors that don't have Hardened Scales abilities, right?
Yeah.
And then the green-black one does exile graveyards to make foods.
Okay. And then the blue-red one scries?
Yeah, it scries.
But it also only activates for two. It's a 2/1.
With first strike.
Oh.
I think these are all kind of mid.
Yeah.
I think they are all better than the Zendikar versions.
That's probably true, yeah. But they're not as good as the monocolored ones for sure, though.
That's the real problem. The monocolored ones come into play untapped and are just way better creatures.
Yeah. All right, I mean, I know you're feeling under the weather. Do you feel up to do some Desert Slap, or I'm also good just kind of calling it?
I think we should save the Desert Slaps.
We'll save it for Chris.
Save it for Chris. Yeah. I do want to say I am excited for some of these
I need to talk to Ed about his submission.
Spicy cards.
Yeah.
The bonus packin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk about some of these real quick?
Some of them.
I'm interested. So they've like confirmed that printing of Bitter Blossom is the last time we'll have Tribal on a card. So it'll be interesting to see what it gets replaced with.
Right. I like the. I want to see what an anime Blood Moon looks like.
I think they've shown it off.
I haven't seen it, if they have.
It's not a Mythic spoiler, so I can't really pull it up right now, but yeah.
I think that, like, a lot of this art is really good. I think that Land Tax's art is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just the giant taking your land?
It's just like, this is mine now. Rolling it up. Walking off with it. Sneak Attack is also very funny.
Can we talk about how cowardly wizards are by pre-banning?
Spreading Seas?
Yeah.
Is that the only one they said where they were pre-banning?
No, they're also pre-banning Blood Moon, Land Tax, Necropotence, and Sneak Attack.
Cowards.
Yeah.
Also, right? can we just... I'd like to put an F in chat and pay a moment of respects to all of my homies and listeners who got rolled up in the hype and bought in on the scam that is Commander Masters.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine... like such chase cards, like Doubling Season, Smothering Tithe, and then like and Grave Pact,
Defense of the Heart.
Okay, that's not even in the set,
huh?
But like in Commander Masters.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doubling Season, Grave Pact, and Smothering Tithe are all Mythic rares in Commander Masters, that were like kind of high price tag cards, and then now there's Grave Pact here.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, it really does suck to suck.
Yeah, this set's going to be a lot of fun. I am excited for Drain. We should have the rest of the cards probably next week, I'm going to assume. We'll have them all in. So, yeah, I mean, we'll also like Rhystic Study. The extra slot is going to be sick in this limited environment.
I'm very upset that the meme version, the new printing of Oppression does not have my favorite meme flavor text.
Oh, which is what?
The one that may discuss what you can and can't do at the Burger King soda dispenser.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be perfect, you know.
Yeah. No, this is going to be great. Like I said, sorry, without Chris here, Ricksville, we'll do Dozen Slab next week. So if you haven't gotten one, be sure to get them in. And we'll talk all about them. Yeah, I mean, anything else you really wanted to spoil? Any other last-minute cards before we kind of call things here? I'm
just hype about this set. In general, it seems absurdly powerful. Oh, there's one more card I really wanted to talk about.
Oh, which one?
It's a common.
Okay.
Rowan's Grim Search.
Oh, what's that?
Black 2 for an instant with bargain, right?
Okay.
If we've bargained this spell, we look at the top 4 cards of our library, put up to 2 of them back on top of our library, and the rest into our graveyard, which means we don't have to put any back on top of our library.
Okay.
And then we draw 2 cards and lose 2 life.
Oh, and I think
this card's kind of actually like sick at instant speed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the worst, it's an instant speed sign in blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the addition of being able to, like, sack off a token to get a mill 4 ability in on this, right?
Sure.
And even, like, maybe mill a little less because we found the card we're looking for, right? I think this card is really sick.
Yeah.
The problem is, I think Greasefang wants this, and they surprisingly don't have a lot of things to bargain with.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's like a Rakdos graveyard deck that wants to sack a blood token to get some extra mills going, right?
Sure.
This seems like hot, hot, hot. I like this card a lot.
Yeah. There is actually one more card I want to talk about too.
Sure.
And that is Lord Skitter's Blessing.
This card actually seems pretty good.
Yeah. 1 and a black for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, create a Wicked Roll token attached to a creature you control. Then at the beginning of your draw step, if you control an enchanted creature, you lose 1 life and you draw an additional card.
Sick for 2 mana.
Yeah, right?
I like this card a lot, too. I'm not... Lord Skitter has a lot of cards, and his Butcher is the one that confuses me the most.
That's a rat with a big knife.
And it doesn't make a food.
Yeah, what's it do? It just makes a rat.
Butcher has 3 abilities, and none of them make food. It can either make a rat, or you can sacrifice a creature to scry 2 and draw, or you can give all your creatures menace.
Do you think there's a little man under his hat that helps him cook?
I think there's definitely a tiny little man pulling on his ears.
Yeah.
Like in my favorite movie,
Raccoon Tooie?
Yeah, Raccoon Tooie. Yeah, that's my favorite.
They auctioned the raccoon puppet, and I was really like,
oh my God.
Oh, if I was rich.
Yeah, this set looks sweet. There's a lot of cards to go over. I think like Elusive Otter is a really weird card that I don't think we have time to get into.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little dense. Sentinel of Lost Lore is really cool. There's just a lot, and it's only half the set spoiled, and I'm excited about commons. I'm excited about uncommons.
Yeah, for sure.
This is what it feels like when we haven't had a set in forever.
Right?
Get one. Exciting.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week with more spoilers. Hopefully full staff as well, so we can do some Dozen Slab
action. And I'll feel better, yeah.
Yeah. Ricky and I are going to go win some Star Chips this weekend at Grand Archive.
We are. I'm being playing Grand Archive.
So if you're going to be in Houston for Grand Archive Regionals, say hi. We'll be there. Anyway, that will do it for this week's episode. Like I said, sorry if you did spend it on Slack. We will do them. We'll do them next week. But make sure if you wanted to get one in, you submit it, and we'll still talk about anything that gets submitted. I do want to say before we end off here that we are supported by our support Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several tiers available, but all of them get access to our exclusive Patreon channels on our Discord, including the Patreon mailbag, where you get a question that sounds something like this. This question comes from Maddie P, who asks, what's a card you want to make work in Pioneer? What's keeping that card from being a banger? For me, it's Glinthorn Buccaneer. There's a very janky combo with Heliod, but it just isn't there.
Glinthorn Buccaneer is a pretty exciting card for sure.
Yeah.
I've bent over backwards to try to make Bergy do things.
Yeah.
And that deck is very funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like right now I'm looking at like this new set and I'm already seeing cards that I'm like, man, this card is like really close. And the card right now, the card I think about probably more than any other card for working in Pioneer is Cruel Somnophage. Not even going to lie. That's the card right now.
Yeah.
For me, this is the card that I am just obsessed over and I am thinking about day and night on how am I going to make this work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it's going to take, you know, a ban of Karn, you know, it's always a good start.
Well, we can always hope, only hope. Right. Ban Karn is going to be like our, I remember like when Walking Dead was first airing, right? And it was like, there was always the poll of what should Rick have done in this situation? And it was always like, answer D, kill Shane.
Right, right, right. Oh, man.
Ban Karn. Of course.
You can pull Rick in this set.
You can. Yeah, we can. We're finally going to have the Magic Eyes version of the Walking Dead cards in this set.
Yeah. So, like, this set is just so much more value than Commander Masters.
Yeah, we're definitely. I'm going to talk more about it as we get closer to Extra Life, but we will be having an opportunity for Extra Life. Essentially, we're going to rework Extra Life. Again, I'll talk about that. A little close to Extra Life, which will be in November. We're redoing our prize support for Extra Life for donations. So hopefully more people can get access to giveaways and stuff like that instead of the big raffle. We're going to kind of like box break style stuff where you donate, you get a pack, or we'll do like a digi break. We'll figure that all that out. But essentially, we're definitely be cracking some of this set too and giving away packs of Eldraine if you donate. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. My pick, though, is if you couldn't guess by now, it's Bard Class.
Bard Class, yeah.
It's Bard Class. I mean, like, I think Ruby is really close to solving one of the issues in that the deck really just needs acceleration. Like, the problem is it's like a turn 5, turn 6 combo, and that's just like a turn too slow for Pioneer.
Rockman, can I task you with a really weird, funny thing that I'm now like just obsessed with an art.
Okay. Okay.
There's an art from the set that I just saw today. Okay. And I think it's the best art in the whole set.
Okay. Okay.
It is Repercussion.
Where is this?
It's in the special showcase cards or whatever.
Have okay. You seen
this art? It's no. In Japanese, but you will know it's a red card, Repercussion.
Is it the guy with his hand?
The why did I punch the big golem?
Yeah.
And the big golem is just like,
huh? Yeah.
Can I please get some emotes of this art when we get better scans?
Of just the guy with the hand?
The guy with the hand, and then also the golem with the...
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
In my opinion, this is the funniest art. I think yeah. This is great.
Yeah, I got it.
Have you ever just been so mad you punched the big walking mountain?
And the walking mountain's confused by it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can definitely make that happen. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Bard Class, I just think like the deck is... Because... Like the accelerants you have, like you want a one drop, you want one drop legendary so you can have like early Mox Ambers in play. So Ruby, I think, is really going to help that out and give it like an on theme mana dorks. Like you, it's really hard to fit in mana dorks into the deck just because they're non legendary. You don't really take away from that legendary count. And with Bard Class, you really want to start going off until you can hit Bard Class chapter or level 3, which costs 5 mana to get to. And by that point, we're in a 9 mana investment. So it's a lot, but I mean, it's one of those decks that I love taking like FNM style events because if you get the Rude Goldberg machine going, and it is like playing Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic, where you're just like, all right, play this guy now, flip 2 more cards. Oh, here we got another hit. Here we go. It's just Magic the Yu-Gi-Oh deck,
right?
So then we just end on IP Mask Rain and pass.
It is it's a sick deck watching it go off, and I'm always excited when it gets a new card.
Yeah.
I think this one might be the one. I think Ruby is insane.
Ruby, and again, I think
And the Witch.
Yeah.
So, best of luck to the Bard Class lovers out there.
That's right. I need to buy my Ampersand still.
Ooh.
Anyway. So thank you, Maddie P, for the question. Make sure everyone, if you have questions, submit them to the Patreon mailbag, patreon.com/crew3mtg. And swag bag cards, I was able to get all 80 copies of the card from a single seller. And so swag bag cards showed up here with plenty of time to get in the mail before the month is over. So those will be going out here next week. So I got them all. So yeah, that'll do it for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week with hopefully some dozen slaps, with more L-Train spoilers. And if someone finds another cool card game thing that isn't done by Magic that's coming out this year, right, show me so I can complain about it. Ricky, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me at also Steve. I'm tweeting about all sorts of stuff all the time.
Yep.
And man, I've been trying to stream again on Wednesdays, yep, but I'm sick. I'm going to bed. That's fine.
And of course, you can find me over on X.com also at Crew 3 Podcast. Talk about all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, you can find me over on our YouTube channel at Crew3MTG. I just filmed another episode of Cast or Pass with my wife. So that'll probably be going up here probably next week, because I've recorded some Grand Archive stuff. I've opened up I'm doing like an intro video to Grand Archive. I've got a booster box opening, and I've got a video of me opening and going over the star decks that are available. Kind of hype up Grand Archive because the next set comes out next weekend, actually. So Fractured Crown will come out next weekend. So I'll try to get a little bit more Grand Archive content on the channel. So I do think the game is definitely worth talking about and hyping up. So I'll probably put out the intro video will be out before this episode comes out. The box opening and intro decks will be out shortly after that goes up. And then I'm going to make a video where I talk about, I think, some of the most exciting cards from Fractured Crown, and have that out next week. And maybe Ricky and I will do something for Patreon, post regionals, post store champs, talking about how we won Starships this weekend.
Heck yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.